He waited until Ryan, casting his eye around his companions, nodded assent.
Good.
Under Harvey's direction, with a guard still covering them, the companions retrieved their blasters from where they had been forced to let them drop, and the party assembled on the path. Under the Sec Chief's lead, with Ryan and Jack close behind, a Sec blaster still half raised toward them as a deterrent, they set out at a rapid pace.
They've got some lead on you.
Ryan told Harvey what they had seen and when. The Sec man listened in silence before replying.
Those poor kids will be chill meat by now anyway, Cyclops. But the least we can do is give them a decent burial. Not to be burned and eaten by that muty shit. No offense.
He nodded toward Jack, who smirked.
None taken, since not muty.
Doc tapped the Sec Chief on the shoulder.
Tell us what you know of this Vil's Samtvogel.
Harvey turned sharply.
How do you know about that, old man?
Ryan told him they were outlanders looking for a better life. And as they traveled toward Seattle, they came across a deserted diner, neglecting to mention the attacking party from the war wag. That could come later. He then produced the map.
Shit, if I ever find out which fuckwit left that to be found. You'll have gathered that the old place is a staging post for us, so you know where we're going.
Only as a name on a map.
Harvey paused, walking in silence for some time, Ryan waiting patiently for an answer. By now, they were out of the Oldville and onto the blacktop, leaving the heavy forest behind, and headed out to the scrub. It wasn't until they had cut away from the blacktop and were headed across the bare and rough terrain, with the setting sun lending coolness to the previously humid heat, that Harvey outlined what his people knew of the Sun Children and Samtvogel. The Sun Children were a band of inbred muties descended from a pre-dark cult led by a man named Sunchild, who believed that the nukes were a cleansing fire from the gods, and that they should make their base in the wilderness, ready for the judgment day, when the gods would come to deliver them. They had, according to the legend that Harvey had tortured from a captured mutie, welcomed the times of the dark, looking upon their mutations as a blessing from the gods, adapting their bodies for the new world to come. The gods demanded sacrifices of children, the new lives replenishing the energies of the gods. The eating of flesh transferred that energy to the cultists. As they had become more mutated and inbred with each succeeding generation, so their lust for flesh had grown to the point where the current Sunchild was a drooling idiot whose only joy was the snatching of children from the Undergroundville, which Harvey revealed was called Raw. He then went on to explain that his Vil was run by a baron named Alien, and consisted of some survivors from the old Vil of Seattle, along with the descendants of people called the Illuminated Ones, who had emerged from an underground installation which they believed had been destroyed by a bomb after they left. Listening, each of the companions wondered if the corpse they had found had been left in charge of the bomb, along with the journal. But all elected to stay silent on the matter for now.
And they do say that there are other Illuminated Ones out there somewhere. Been some weird shit seen around here from time to time. Which is why I'm so pissed at whoever left that mother map in the way station. We don't want our Vil left exposed like that. Of course, Cyclops, if you and your people had seen some weird shit on your way toward us, you'd tell me now, wouldn't you?
Ryan fixed the Sec Chief with a steely blue glare.
No, of course you wouldn't. You're far too smart for that.
The sacrificial fires lit the sky a brilliant white and orange, shining like a small sun in the blackness of the descended night. The Vil itself was a collection of old ranch houses in a small valley, the original buildings in a state of disrepair and ruin, daubed a myriad of colors that flickered in the firelight. Around the ruined houses were shacks constructed of metal, wood, and any raw materials that could have been found, pulled together rather than constructed, in a haphazard and flimsy fashion. And scattered among the shacks were tents made of rags and blankets strung over poles, offering scant protection to the muties who inhabited them. The ridges of the valley were fenced off with rusty barbed wire strung around the dusty, unstable rock, stretching around for a distance of 2 miles. At irregular intervals were dead birds, hawks like the one that attacked Doc Tanner, mutated birds that resembled woodpeckers with grotesquely enlarged and toughened beaks, even some creatures that may, once in their genetic history, have been chickens, impaled on the wire, and in varying states of decay and corruption. The party of 8 sec men and the 7 companions had walked straight to the head of the valley, with little attempt at concealment.
Interesting idea of decoration they've got. And an interesting idea of not being seen that you've got.
JB peered into the gloom and voiced the unease felt by the others.
Yeah, where are their sec forces?
Ain't got any sec forces. They don't need them.
Harvey poked at one of the bird corpses with the snubbed barrel of his blaster. The rotten carcass fell off the wire and landed in the dust.
The only thing that wants to come anywhere near this pest hole is the wildlife. Come to that, even that ain't so keen.
Why don't you wipe them out once and for all if they're such a problem?
We've got other things to do. Besides, they don't bother us much, and that's all we ask. Guess we just don't like visitors.
Doc eyed the sec chief speculatively. Now why would that be, he wondered. On reflection, he decided to save that question for another time. Christy had other ideas. She had kept silent for some time, but there was something about the sec chief that made her hair crawl close to her neck.
Why don't you like visitors? Why do you keep the entrance to your vill so well hidden you don't even mark it on your own maps?
Privacy. It's a rare thing, and we prize it.
Especially if you have something to hide.
Harvey's eyes momentarily blazed, but Christy didn't flinch under his glare. She could feel his men tense around them, and saw from the periphery of her vision both Ryan and JB tense also, expecting trouble. The sec chief won the struggle to control his temper.
Our business is our business. Maybe you'll find out later. If we want. Meantime, we've got work to do.
The 15-strong party looked down at the vill of Somptvogel. The inhabitants, clearly and unmistakably visible against the light of the fires and the dull colors of the valley, were moving slowly toward the center of the vill, which was a circular courtyard between the two largest ranch houses in the valley. It was here that the fire blazed. Standing between the two houses and completely blocking one entrance to the yard was a squat object, painted in a multiplicity of colors, and standing malevolently over the unfolding scene. Doc gestured with his stick.
What's that? Who knows? Some kind of totem left over from the old days. I'll bet it's how most of the muti scum are so dumb they don't even realize it's there, let alone what it is.
Perhaps. Doc's faraway tone made Ryan look at him sharply. However, there was no time for the one-eyed warrior to ask Doc what was on his mind, as Ant spotted something in the melee below.
There they are. Shit, what a bunch of sick fucks.
Chanting tonelessly and incessantly, the multicolored muties had cut the corpses of the now-dead children from the poles. Some of the muties were laying kindling around their feet. No one could tear their gaze away. Wanting to, but unwilling to believe what they were seeing, and needing confirmation.
Those are our dead, and they ain't gonna burn them.
So how do we attack?
JB wanted to ask why it was so important to get back some chilled kids, risking their own necks for nothing. But figured at that point it was more practical to figure out how they could mount the attack and get out in one piece. Harvey paused to gaze around the circumference of the valley edge.
The way I see it is like this.
Jack slid down the loose stones and patches of squee that constituted the sides of the valley. He knew that it would appear pitch black in the area immediately outside of the gathering of huts, shacks, old ranch houses, and ragged tents that made up the vill of Somptvogel. The intense light of the fire would only carry so far, and muty eyes wouldn't be able to adjust to the sudden change in light levels. As his flowing white hair and pale skin shone out against the dark of his camo clothing and the dark earth, he was pleased about this. The raucous chanting, growing in volume and intensity as the ceremony approached, also served to mask the sound his party made while descending the sides of the valley. With the looseness of the earth, it was impossible for even Jack to maintain a complete silence. For the people with him, however, it seemed to be a case of how much noise they could make. Blake, the small, nut-brown and wizened sec man, slid down beside the albino, slowing his descent so that he was level with Jack. He managed to blend in with the landscape, only the whites of his hazel eyes shining in the dark.
Don't see why we couldn't just march in.
A laconic voice came from behind, indicated only by the flickering firelight that caught his spectacles.
You'd like them to know we're coming?
J.B. was slowing his descent with solid footfalls, reasoning that any noise he made was more than masked by the chanting.
We walk in and announce ourselves to make things harder.
Blake grunted noncommittally. There was one main track in and out of the vill. It took the shallowest incline out of the valley and consisted of beaten earth and the remnants of a bitumen road. Two poles, once probably part of a sign hanging over the road, or perhaps a gate system, stood stark against the bare earth around. The surrounding incline took a sharp turn